I just said that one of the reasons that it's always so exciting to win a Molokai race is because, or any long distance races, is because only members in the Outrigger Canoe Club can participate. And when offshore or some of the other clubs come here, they collect people to do their race from all over the United States.
Oh.
And so they win, they have kind of an advantage because they've been able to pick from anyone, and we have picked just from our club. So when we win, it's an extra good feeling.
That is a good point. Any other interesting things that have happened with the canoe racing, or have you noticed how it's changed?
Well, it's certainly, it's an all-day affair, number one. And number two, what's nice to see is that so many of the paddlers bring their children, bring their whole family. And it's nice to see. And we seem to have a new crop of youngsters now, babies. And so it's fun to see. We have a new group that's going to be paddling.
That is great.
Yeah.
What I was going to ask you when you were talking about the volunteer work is, do you feel secure that the generations that follow you will do the same as far as giving their time?
I wish. It's hard to say right now because, as you know, living in Hawaii is so difficult for particularly younger ones, because how can they buy houses? How can they do anything with what's happened to the Japanese influx? And I would like to think they could do and would do lots of volunteering, but at this point I think they're so... But the group in the 20s is struggling so to pay the rent and buy food that that's not going to happen for a while. And people are having to leave.
You have a 25-year-old.
Yes, I do. And my daughter also. But also people are having to move away with the thought that they will come back after they've earned some money, which is, in a sense, is sad because, you know, I moved away and I lived away, and the best thing that ever happened was coming back.
And I've heard some people say once you get out of the real estate market here, it's really hard to re-enter.
That's right.
Because you get used to getting a lot more for your money.
That's right. But you have to realize when you come back, and I was brought up here, and when I came back, I knew that I would have to sacrifice, not only in salary, but in what I was able to do, because this is the only place in the world that you can work out every day of the year.
And for you, it's worth it, right?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yes. And I think that our islands should be the athletic complex of the world, with the arena here, because for all kinds of sports, water sports as well as other sports.
That would be a great way to diversify.
Yes, and help the tourist trade. I mean, I know I'm not into the winter sports, but I mean into everything else, whether it's rowing or kayaking or running, I mean, track, everything. We could have everything here. America's Cup, all of the sports.
And it's interesting, as you said, the way it's changing with the younger crop having to work harder and possibly move away. How might that change the face of the club? Could it make the club become even more of an elite kind of a place?
I don't know. I just, when I see people at dinner at the club, I notice that there's definitely an older group, not on the hall terrace, but up in the dining room. And it's probably because they can afford it. And I'd like to see the club used by the younger people. And I think they do on the hall terrace. But the more I go to the dining room, the more I see the older people. And it didn't used to be this way, but it's the economy. It's not the club, I mean, it's just the economy. And it scares me a little to think that the younger generation can't afford to buy, because I'm now thinking I would like to be able to leave my kids each something so that they can stay here, if that's what their desire is.
Any other contemporary problems of the club that you
well,
see us
we
facing?
Have little, yeah, well, we have little, we have, I think that the kitchen has not changed. it's got real noisy. I think the club has to consider, we've done a lot with like the no smoking policy, but another thing we need to do is to start thinking about the fact that people are now vegetarians, many of them, and they cannot come to the club and eat a dinner here because the pasta salad has salami in it and almost everything has some meat in it. And we do have people who are getting more and more health conscious here, and we have to make available for them some of the things on the menu that really are not just one thing, it's several things on the menu for them so to satisfy their dietary needs.
I agree.
Well, my son's a vegetarian, and I almost am, but I do eat some white meat chicken without.
So were you happy to see the smoking ban?
Oh, yes. Yes, I was involved in that. So. Yes, very definitely.
For health reasons.
Yes. Why should you have an athletic club with smoke around? There's absolutely no excuse for it.
Are there any other issues that you feel strongly about?
Yes. Well, one of them is with the paddling, and I think that we have to look and make sure that we don't have a dynasty of a particular coach who does everything he wants to do when he wants to do it and doesn't listen to anybody else and does his own thing. I think we have to look at the democracy of it and letting other people do things and not just be ruled by one iron hand that it's almost... It's pathetic, and the politics does bother me, because if you were in a certain clique, then everything's okay. If you're not in that clique, then you don't have a chance, and that really does bother me. And that's been true of the club always. I think in paddling and in other things, and I'm not a clique person, but people might look at me and say, well, now you are because you're in paddling, but that's not true, because the masters are separate. The masters aren't even considered part of the paddling group. And yet we bring in points, but that's minor, but the coaching thing, there's something has to be done about that. There's no question about that.
From someone who hasn't paddled yet, I think it's true that the politics surrounding paddling any sport at the club is the most high profile. How did that happen, or do you see any possible solutions?
Oh, yeah, I do see some solutions, but... it's going to take a little while, but I see it coming. I thought it was going to come at the end of last year, and I have seen a few changes, but there have to be more. There have to be more, because if we want to make this a club where people want to paddle and they come because they want to paddle, that's what you want. You don't want them to say, "I'm not going to paddle because of the politics."
Exactly. I mean,
that's not a reason.
And I hear that a lot.
Yeah. My son's an example. He would not paddle because of the politics. He would not be in the clique, the little clique that was doing all their stuff together in their weight room and all that. He could be just as good or better than the rest of them, but he wasn't in that clique, so it didn't count.
And it is sad, because that's a part of the tradition of the club, the water sports that people are missing out on because of that fear of getting involved in the cliques and the politics.
Right.
But are they talking about troubleshooting that? And
well, there are lots of people very much aware, and it's been pointed out, so I have to be on, the paddling committee to be able to help with straighten that out. But people are aware, there's no question, but the board is all aware of that also. But lots of people, what's happened is lots of people on the board are not into athletics, and that's what's happened. We have some new people on the board, the people who have not participated in athletics, and they really don't care about athletics, and so that's their priorities are not quite the same as the ones who are athletes, and so it gets watered down a lot.
Which sort of brings me to my next question. Do you think that the focus is kept enough on the sea as far as the sports, paddling?
Well, we're an athletic club now, and we're really not just an ocean club. Yes, that should be number one priority. But volleyball has always been a big part. And I think sometimes we forget that, yes, there are lots of other sports, but we need to come back and take care of the major sports and not emphasize such things as the motorcycle and the golf and some of the things that can be done anyway, and try to get back into the surfing, paddling, the ocean kinds of sports, and swimming. But
and volleyball.
Oh yes, yes, yeah, no, it has, yeah, it has to be key. So it isn't all water, but yes, emphasize the water, and we do right now. The biggest budget is the paddling. It's paddling and then volleyball. That's where the budget goes, and then the lesser sports. Mm-hmm. But then again, you've got lots of people in paddling, and we're working on the junior program in volleyball, which may build to a really good program. I mean, it's good now, and they've been working on that for about 3 years, getting me from 12-year-olds on up.
Mm-hmm. And I guess we sort of touched on this when we were talking about the Women Co Award, but any differences between, say, the men's racing and the women's racing?
Of course. There always is. You know, it's, I'd say that the men have a little more priority than the women, but it's getting better. And the masters have less priority than the open crews, but it's, you know, it's coming. It's getting better. The masters are very often excluded, but we do a very good job of including ourselves, whether we're asked or not. And we're the last of the priority when it comes to practice, the master's crews. But all I can say is, I mean, I've seen an improvement from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's important.
Yeah.
I mean, any other personal experiences that you want to share about your years at the club and just how it's, I guess, added a dimension to your life or any...
Well, I'd have to say that it's been a lifesaver, because when I came back in 1980, no husband, and came back with a son, and didn't know what I was going to do. It was not only a home, but it was just a familiar place to be, and a place for me to bring my son, who had come from, we'd been on the mainland for a long time, and he was coming into seventh grade, and he needed some kind of identity and some kind of anchors, and so this was really good. And that's when he came in as a member. And I think it helped both of us, because I had to start all over. I started all over in 1980 as if I didn't have any friends, because a female coming back to the islands is a threat. Well, I mean, I'm single, and what are you going to do here? And you don't have the same friends you had before, because they've all... And all the families have their own friendships, and so you just have to start all over. So it was like coming to a new land, and this was kind of like an anchor for me, so it was really good.
And I'm sure you'll always be active.
I hope so.
The club.
I hope so. I'm glad that I got off the board this March, and it's been a real relief not to have to do all that. I mean, it was very rewarding and very good for me, but it was also very tiring, because with all the other things, you put in another extra, maybe 20 hours a month on the board and the executive committee, and it gets very time consuming, but very, very worthwhile, but a very nice thing to do. Nice when the end of the 6 years was up to get off.
Just any other interesting events or anecdotes from the past? Remember when I wrote you earlier in the summer, yeah. You may have thought of something.
I know, but...
But you're so busy.
I go to all these different things, and the Maui Channel was this weekend, and then the Rough Water, and I think about them, and then I'm going to write them down, and I forget mm-hmm. to write them down. I can remember going out... on one of our practice days, and I think the waves were three to 4 feet in the channel, and we were going out between the set, and we were hurrying as fast as we could to get out there, and I was in seat one, and I was thrown at least 6 feet in the air. And then, when I got out of the boat, the next day I had bruises all over me, but I mean, I've never flown that high in my whole life, and I still think back on it, and I wouldn't have changed it because it was an exciting experience.
And the wave.
We went up over the top of the wave, and as we came down, I went flying up in the air. Yeah. You see, the boat hits the bottom. Uh-huh. We all did. It's just that I'm in the front, so I went the farthest. And I went flying. Everybody else was thrown out of their seats in the first three seats anyway. And I mean, I've never experienced that before in my whole life. I mean, that was the highest I've ever gone. You know, I mean, we've swamped and we've done all kinds of things, but that was
probably the... And that was just this summer?
No, last year. Oh. It was last year. When we were practicing for Moloko. Mm-hmm.
But there was plenty of surf.
Well, yeah, and you usually wait between sets, but then and it didn't break, it's just that it came, and we were trying to get out as fast as we could. I don't think I've ever been thrown that high in my whole life. I wish we'd had a video to take pictures of it. But...
Anything else?
I don't know. I can't think of anything.
If you do, you know, you can always add it to transcript.
I was going to ask my son, and he said, and he's off somewhere else. So, because he probably think of him better than I can. And I think he was supposed to do that at one point.
Well, I think you mentioned a lot of very important things. And thank you for your time and going over the past and
thank
the
you.
Present.
Yeah.